Okay, so Parashat Vayeshev. So oftentimes we say that the theme and the identity of each parasha is found in the name. Okay? Parashat Vayeshev. Vayeshev means to settle, to rest. So Yaakov, basically, in the beginning of the parasha, it says, Vayeshev Yaakov, Beretz Megurei Aviv, Beretz Canaan. Right? Yaakov settled in his hometown. Elel Toldot Yaakov, these are the offsprings of Yaakov. And then it goes on to say that Yosef was one of the brothers, and he was a shepherd, and he followed his brothers, and he told over the story of what they were doing to Yaakov, and that's the whole, the rest of it we all know about the story of Yosef and the brothers. But Rashi points out that Yaakov, why does it say Vayeshev, and he settled and he rested? Rashi says, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Beshalva. Yaakov sought out serenity and peace. He wanted to rest, he wanted to chill, he wanted to retire. He had such a rough life. Yaakov went through a lot. It started from the second he was born. There were wrestling matches in his mother's womb with Esav. And once they got out, he was pulling his foot, and it just never ended. And later on with Esav and the Brachot and Lavan, and finally, listen, he worked really hard, he earned some money, he has his children, he has his wives, he made it back to his hometown. Give the man a break. But Rashi points out, no. Immediately afterwards, Hashem said no. Hashem said, Tzadikim, don't rest in this world. And immediately afterwards, Hashem brought upon him the entire situation with Yosef. Right? Tzadikim want to seek out to sit in peace and to learn and to just engage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in spirituality without any other distractions. And Hashem says this world is not for that. And Hashem sent upon Yaakov that entire situation and episode with Yosef, a very, very difficult one for Yaakov. Arguably the most difficult challenge that he had to face in his entire life. It's almost as if Yosef, in particular, was a specific response to Yaakov's request. How so? Let's ask another question. The Sfarim say that Yaakov had the image of Adam HaRishon, and that he was mitaken, he rectified, the sin of Adam HaRishon. In what way is that true? How is Yaakov mitaken the sin of Adam HaRishon? One more question. It says, Yaakov Avinu lo met. This is a Gemara that says this. I believe it's a Gemara in Ta'anit, if anyone learned it. Yaakov Avinu lo met. Yaakov Avinu didn't die. What does that mean he didn't die? He died. We know that the Torah says that he died. He's in Mitzrayim, he died, they carried his body, brought it to Ma'arat HaMachpelah, they buried him there. There's a big fight with Esav. Esav wanted to be buried there. Hushim ben Dan, the grandson of Yaakov, who was blind, he didn't know what was going on, he went and he chopped off Esav's head, and his head rolled into Ma'arat HaMachpelah, in between the feet of Yaakov. He died. What does it mean, Lomet? Okay, so those are the three questions we're going to deal with. To answer these questions, we have to understand a very, very important yisod, a very important concept. One of the most peaceful and serene sights that we have in this world is the ocean. Just go and watch or listen to the waves. It can help a person relax, help a person calm himself down. Right? Whenever you go to a hotel, it's always triple the price to get the ocean front, the ocean view. Always. Right? There are certain therapies that include, natural sounds that imitate the sounds of an ocean. Right? It's the most peaceful experiences, most relaxing experiences that exist in this world. On the other hand, one of the most dangerous areas in the world is also the ocean. It has wild fish, dangerous waves, and it's responsible for many, many deaths each and every single day, every single week, every single month. When you cross an ocean with a boat, you have to say Agomel, the Bracha of Agomel. That's one of the four examples of a person, one of the four types of people who say the Bracha of Agomel. When they cross the ocean, when they are in a boat. Why? It's dangerous place. What's the pshat? On one hand, it brings a person, it gives him his chiyut, it gives him his life back, it gives him his energy, it relaxes a person. On the other hand, it's dangerous, it's wild. Because Shlomo HaMelech says that the world is compared to an ocean. It's very tricky and it's very deceiving. If you were to be dropped in an ocean and you just want to relax, what's going to happen? The waves are going to swallow you up and in a matter of minutes you're going to die. The only way to survive is by constantly swimming against the currents. That's how an ocean works. And says Shlomo HaMelech, the world is the same exact concept. If you are thrown into the world and you decide that I want to chill during my time in this world, then you're going to die spiritually. You're going to be swallowed up by the different challenges and different tests and trials and tribulations that this world has to offer. You're going to die in a matter of minutes. One must continuously be moving. They always say that a person, a man, is what's called a mehalech, a goer, a doer, okay? A doer. A person is a person who moves, who walks. That's the nature of a man, to constantly be moving. Because if you're not moving, you're considered dead. Why are you considered dead? Why can't I just stay in the place that I'm in? One of the most dangerous concepts that I hear from students is, I'm very happy with where I am right now. I don't feel the need to grow. I don't feel the need to strive for anything different. I'm very happy and I'm very settled. Now listen, some of those individuals are actually in a very good place religiously. You know, I wish their religious level upon many other people, if only. But that's not the problem. The problem is, the fact that they're okay with where they are means that they're not willing to grow anymore. They're not willing to go. They're not willing to move. They're not willing to swim against the currents. And if you're not willing to do that, then you're going to drown eventually. If you're not going forward, you're going backwards. The Gemara tells us, tzaddikim en lehem menucha, lo ba'olam hazeh v'lo ba'olam haba. Tzadikim do not have any rest. Not in this world, not in the next world. The purpose of the creation is to work. And to work. And to work some more. There's no such thing as sitting back and relaxing in this world. En davar kazeh. It doesn't work like that. The Dora Mabul, right, the generation that was punished with the Mabul, with a flood in the times of Noach, they were guilty of what? What did they do wrong? They were stealing. That's one of the sins, one of the crimes that they committed, that because of that, they were punished with the Mabul. What's the pshat? What's the connection between stealing? We know that every punishment is a direct response to the sin that when the crime that was committed. So in what way was the punishment of the Dorma of the Mabul a response, a punishment to stealing? Because stealing is when you want easy money. You want to earn money without working hard. You want to become rich instantly by sitting on your couch and watching Netflix. But the purpose of creation is to work. They wanted menucha. They wanted to rest. They wanted to live a life without working hard. Hashem said, ah, you want menucha? I'll give you menucha. I'm going to give you a lot of it. What's menucha? Water. Water is menucha. That's why it says, Al mei menuchot yinahaleni. We say in Mizmor David. Al mei menuchot. Mei menuchot means the waters of peace. The waters of rest. So Hashem said, you want that? I'll give it to you. But I'm going to give you a lot of it. Since you abused your time in this world, I'm going to give you a tremendous amount of menucha. And that's water. If you look at Esav, who is the token Rasha that we always point to, Esav throughout his life always wanted the easy way out. You find that in a few different places. First of all, what did he do? He didn't go and cook himself a nice pot, chayim, a nice pot of choreshte lapeh. He didn't go and cook that for himself, right? It means a lentil stew. It's a red lentil stew in Persian. I wonder if that's what Yaakov prepared. I really wonder. But anyways, he didn't go and work hard and prepare that for himself. He got back, you know, from his long day at work of killing a few people, killing a few animals, right? And what? He saw Yaakov, he cooked some delicious, you know, stew, red lentil stew, and he just bought it. He didn't bother making it for himself. Easy way out. Why make it if I could buy it? He gave away his rights to the firstborn. What are the rights to the firstborn? Where do they take you? What rights come with the being the firstborn? So before Reuven sinned, the Bechor was supposed to be the one that did the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, not the Kohen. Shevet Reuven was supposed to be, you know, his offsprings were supposed to be the ones who ran and managed the Beit HaMikdash, who worked in the Beit HaMikdash. Esav said, what do I need that for? To work hard in this world. Go run from here to there, bring sacrifices, jump in the mikveh, come back out, put on these clothes, put on those clothes. Ketoret every single day. Fix the menorah. Light the menorah every single night. What is that? I don't need that. So Esav said, yeah, I don't want to work. I'll give it away, the bechorah, the rights of the firstborn. He didn't want to do the avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, which entailed running and doing. And that's why he ate lentils. What do lentils represent? Death. That's why it's a food item that is served in meals that have to do with mourning. Because it's round to show that a person's life is circular, what goes around comes around. Right? That's why he ate lentils. Lentils is death. Because a person who wants to live a life filled with relaxation is really a person who's dead. There's no life to him. A true feeling of minucha. The true feeling of minucha is when you have a feeling of fulfillment. When you accomplish. When you work hard and you see results. That's minucha. That's real minucha. When a person runs to do Ratzon Hashem. That's why one's allowed to run on Shabbat if it's for a mitzvah. Right? There's halacha. You're not allowed to work hard on Shabbat. Okay? You're not allowed to exercise because you sweat. But if running is something that you really need to do in order to do a mitzvah, running to shul, running, that's okay. Why is that okay? Because it's considered menucha. Why? Because you're running to do a mitzvah. Doing mitzvot on this world is considered menucha. You're living a life of purpose. Yaakov Avinu's entire life was a constant struggle from the day he was born. As we explained, in his womb, he was already fighting, grabbing Esav's heel, trying to come out. Right? He took the brachot from Esav, he became a fugitive. On his way to Lavan, he risked his life with Eliphaz, the son of Esav. He experienced a near-death situation. Dealing right with Lavan's nonsense when he was there in his house, marrying one woman, thinking it was really the other one, then having to work another 7 years to marry the other one. Laban trying to steal all his money, trying to trick him and fool him. Finally, he says, listen, we're out of here. He starts running away from Laban. He's on the run. He's always on the run. You think that was it? On his way back home, he bumped into an old friend, the Malach of Esav, his brother. Malach of Esav. He got into a major wrestling match. Not only that, his daughter, Dinah, went and was raped by Shechem. Such a hard life, very difficult life. Yet, what does it say? We say this every week in Shmona Esrei, Mincha, and Shabbat. Avram Yagel Yitzchak Yeranen, Yaakov Uvanav Yanuchubo. Yaakov and his sons, Yanuchubo. They will rest. It doesn't say Avraham Yanuachbo, Avraham will rest on Shabbat. Yitzchak, no. Dafka Yaakov. Why Yaakov? He had a difficult life. No, because the meaning of true minucha is when a person is always running and accomplishing. And a person is tested and is constantly struggling and fighting and fighting and fighting. That's why that's the koach of the nachash. the snake, the one that was responsible for causing, Adam and Chava to sin in the beginning of time, right? What did the Nachash, what did the snake say? Eat from the Etz Hadaat, eat from this tree, you'll become smart. You won't have to work in order to get anything. Everything will come easy. Imagine what a life would be like if you knew everything. Wow. Think about what life is like today. Guys, think about it. You know, all of technology, all these inventions, what's the purpose? To give you instant information, to give you answers instantaneously. Is that really bringing more menucha to our lives? Look what's happened. We're addicted to our phones. You call that menucha? Take the phone away for 5 minutes. People go crazy. It's not menucha. Very far from it. That's what Nachash said. Eat from Etz Hadaat. Things will come easy. Things will come easy. Because that's menucha. He was wrong. Adam HaRishon listened to him. He ate from it. And he was punished with what? What was his punishment? Death. Death will be brought into the world. Why? Because when you take things easy on this world, you're considered dead. When you're not accomplishing, you're considered dead. That's why the Sfarim say, Yaakov Avinu was mitaken the chet of Adam HaRishon. Yaakov Avinu rectified the sin of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon sinned by not appreciating the concept of working, the concept of living a life of purpose, and abused the menucha in this world. Yaakov Avinu was mitaken that. That's why it says, Shufrei de Yaakov, Kein Shufrei de Adam HaRishon. The appearance, the image of Yaakov was similar to that of Adam HaRishon. And that's why it says, guys, back to square one. It says, Yaakov Avinu lo met. He didn't die. What do you mean he didn't die? He died. No, really he died. But he lived a life that was filled with life. And he wasn't subject to quote-unquote death. His life was really filled with life. And that's why it says in the beginning of the parasha, Ele toldot Yaakov, these are the offsprings of Yaakov. So you would think it would go on to say what? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, so on and so forth. What does it go straight to? It goes straight to Yosef. Ele toldot Yaakov, these are the offsprings of Yaakov, Yosef. Why Yosef? Think about the name Yosef. Name Yosef. And this is a connection to Chanukah. Yosef is what? It means to add. It means to add. It means I'm not happy with where I am right now. I need to do more. I need to accomplish more. Always adding. Always on the move. That's why Yosef was a continuation of Yaakov. Because he also struggled a lot in his life. He was also running from place to place. Accomplishing. Being tested. Passing his tests. Fighting on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wherever he went. That's why Chanukah, there's a machloket in the Gemara between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. Bet Shammai says that on the first night you light 8 candles, and then every night that goes on, you decrease. So on the first night you light 8, the second night you light 7, until you get to the 8th night and you light only 1 candle. Bet Hillel says the exact opposite. Says, no. On the first night you light 1. Because you have to be mosif veholech. You have to be adding. That's what Chanukah is all about. It's all about adding. It's all about contributing and going and doing and running. Because that's what life is. That's why it says by Yaakov, when Yaakov, right, the Rashi, the first Rashi I quoted before, that Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Beshalva. Yaakov wanted to rest. He wanted to chill. He wanted to have a relaxing rest of his life. And Rashi continues, Hashem says, oh, you want peace? You want to relax? No. Kafatz alav rugzo shel Yosef. The complications, the arguments of Yosef jumped on him now. Now he had to deal with the whole episode with Yosef. But why did he use that word rugzo shel Yosef? What does the word rugzo shel Yosef mean? We find that word come up in the Gemara Masechet Shabbat. The Gemara says, Le'olam yargiz adam yetzer tov al yetzer hara. Person should yargiz, in that context, it means to wage war, to fight, to struggle with his Yetzer Hara in his life. So Rugzo Shel Yosef, that means that Yaakov was given struggles, more struggles to deal with. That's why Yosef was one of the first in history to be referred to as Tzaddik. Why Tzaddik? Yosef is called Yosef HaTzaddik. Why Yosef HaTzaddik? Because a Tzaddik is a person who is a fighter. A Tzaddik is a person who doesn't settle with the place that he is in at that moment in time. He's a person that understands that life is meant to fight and meant to struggle, for us to struggle and to move, to be constantly moving. Sometimes we go back, sometimes we go forward, back, forward, back, forward. That's what life is all about. And that's why the Pasuk says, Ki sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. 7 times will a tzaddik fall, but get right back up and continue fighting. Tzaddik, he uses the word tzaddik. And that's Yosef. So Rabbatai, that's something that oftentimes, you know, we get brainwashed in this generation to think, you know, someone told me something very smart. He said, you want to be rich? Find an invention, invent something that will help Americans be lazier than they are right now. And you'll be rich. Think about it. All these inventions, they're genius. Because it's allowing us to live a life with ease. To accomplish the things that we normally accomplish, but with less effort. Are we happy, much happier now that we have ways that we're able to message people from one end of the world to the other end of the world? And all this social media and technology, is that making us happier? That in a matter of seconds we could reveal and uncover information that may have taken us much more time in years past? I'm willing to bet that we're not happier. And the reason is because we're not working for it. And since we're not working for it, we're not fulfilling our mission in this world. Our mission in this world is to fight. We are called B'nai Yisrael. We're not called B'nai Yaakov. We're called B'nai Yisrael. Why B'nai Yisrael? What does the word Yisrael mean? The word Yisrael comes from when Yaakov fought with the angel of Esav. And he was fighting and fighting and fighting. And at the end, the angel of Esav gave him a name. And he said, your name is not going to be Yaakov anymore, it's going to be Israel. Why? Because you fought. You fought with me, you fought with Esav, you fought with Lavan, and that's your new identity. You are a fighter. And that's who we are named after. Named after Israel, B'nai Israel. Because we are supposed to be fighters. We're supposed to fight against our temptations, fight against what's wrong in the world, fight against what's wrong inside of us. And when a person lives a life that is filled with battles with his temptations, that is filled with battles against wrong, what's wrong in the world, and he's constantly fighting and battling and battling and battling, when he looks back after a certain amount of time, he's going to say, wow, I feel really good about that. I feel really good. And even though I lost some battles here and there, but I feel good because I worked really hard to get to where I am right now. And when a person constantly fights and constantly fights, he's going to be appreciated in Shemayim. And that's why when Yaakov and the angel of Esav, they were fighting, they were wrestling, it says, Vayeavek ish imo, and there was a man wrestling with him, but it uses the word Vayeavek. Vayeavek comes from the Shorish Avak. Avak means dust. Rashi says that, why dust? Why didn't it just say they were fighting? Why didn't it have to say they were dusting with each other? Right? Why did he use the word dust? Rashi says, because Hashem got so much Nachat Ruach out of Yaakov Avinu's battle with the angel of Esav, which represents the Yetzer Hara, that the dust elevated and went all the way up to the Kiseh HaKavod. That's how far up it went. The dust from the battle. Rabotai, sometimes Hashem is not looking for us to be victorious. Hashem is just looking for us to fight. It's not about the results. It's about the journey. It's about the process. It's about how much effort we're putting into life, how much effort we're putting into getting to where we want to get to. So, B'zlat Hashem, I wish all of you the drive and motivation to fight and to keep on fighting, just like Yaakov, just like Yosef, just like the Maccabim in the times of Chanukah. They fought. They didn't think about a victory. They were so few in number. And they said, listen, all Hashem wants from us right now is to fight. And let's do it. That's what we need to do. They went and they fought. And the result was a miracle happened. They were victorious. Because when you fight and you do what Hashem wants you to do in this world, you don't take it easy. You fight for what you believe in. You fight for where you want to be in life. And the results, B'ezrat Hashem, will be good ones, positive ones. Hashem will shower all of us with many brachot, many blessings. Hashem will shower all of us with many yeshuot and nechamot, and to put an end to all the challenges and suffering that we are all dealing with on individual levels, on national levels. B'ezrat Hashem, we should all be zocheh to light the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash bekarov mamash. Thank you guys so much for listening. Chanukah Sameach, Shabbat Shalom.